Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word, along with my illustrious co-host with the most straight out of the state, well, the great state of Ohio, Miss 100%. And because we want y'all to holler at us, feel free to hit us, 646-929-2037. Once again, 646-929-2037. It's the call number. I know some of y'all are too shy to call, so as I always say, hit me on my email, dick@smoothdrama.com. I will answer any question, talk about any topic. You know me. It don't matter. If you don't know me, it don't matter. I'll talk about anything except for me, of course. Also, if you want to social network with me, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, tag, MySpace, my yearbook, you name it, LinkedIn, I'm there. Twitter, you want to follow me, I'm Smooth Drama. Everywhere else, Facebook, tag, MySpace, all those other places, I am Dick Hugger. Feel free to add me. I'll add you back. We can talk a taste on anything that you got on your mind, because I'm sociable once again like that. I want to talk to y'all. I want you to feel like you can talk to me. We can converse on the man-to-man, man-to-woman, whatever level, or something like that. And I encourage people, if you're listening, just revamp the site. Check out the site where you get to see a picture of my face and my illustrious co-host 100% faces. You know, our faces that are made for radio. You can check us out. Tell us what you think. And if you think something bad, we don't care, because we still prettier than you anyway. I'm just playing. I'm not kidding. Now, you know, we've been having the debate talking about how we need to invest more in the education system, because people are not smart. We seem to be going the opposite way. Case in point, there's a man who was arrested because he had the nerve in Best Buy to pay for his stuff in $2 bills. Because the people at Best Buy thought he was, you know, using counterfeit money. You know, obviously, $2 bills aren't really prevalent, but for those of you who don't know, they kind of are money. They really count. So my man was arrested and cuffed and all that for using $2 bills. 57-year-old Mike Bolesta. He was in the county lockup for 3 hours. While the U.S. Secret Service was called in to weigh in on the case.
Wow.
Yeah. and what makes it bad, after Best Buy found out, they said that he would not be charged for the installation of a stereo in his son's car. Then he received a call from the store saying it was, in fact, going to charge him.
What?
So, yeah. he went there to have a stereo installed in his son's car, and it was $114. And so after all that, Best Buy decided, well, you know what, we was wrong, we screwed you over, but we gonna charge you anyway because you need that $114. So
wow.
He paid in 57 brand new $2 bills.
So whatever happened to the black marker?
Well, what I'm thinking, it had nothing to do with the fact that they thought it was counterfeit. It's there are some people, you know, once again, I say the whole education system and people not understanding what is currency and what isn't. They probably had never seen a $2 bill before, and it probably freaked them out. Like, oh my God, mm-hmm. I've never seen this before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there are some people who they just don't know. $2 bills are rare. But it still should have been something that a manager could have came up and said, oh, yeah, those are $2 bills.
That's not true. What was the black marker? I'm pretty sure there's somebody that went to their store has seen a $2 bill before. And to make it real simple, they could have just used the black marker to mark it, mark on level, make sure that they were real, and move on.
Well.
So not only did they waste his time and embarrass him, but they wasted taxpayer money and wasted a police force when they could have been out arresting somebody that was actually committing a crime.
But they brought in the Secret Service. They went deep on it. Okay? You know, thought that he was counterfeiting. It's kind of funny.
Wow.
Yeah. And, well, hey, what can you say? I would say go to Walmart. Not that that's a better option, but he probably wouldn't have got arrested at Walmart. It would have been happy. I should have taken $2 bills. Speaking of Walmart, just in case you didn't know, Walmart is starting a campaign to woo back shoppers. They're going to have TV campaign that's saying, hey, we have the lowest prices. So, yeah, be on the lookout for that because you wouldn't know it if they didn't tell you. I was like, really? You have to... I mean, anybody, and this is for most of us in the technological age, if you do price comparison, I will know whether or not your prices are cheaper than everybody else's because, you know, as most folks do, you internet shop for something and say, okay, which store has it? Which store is the cheapest? That's where I'm going. I don't need a TV ad. Tell me that, but I talked about that too long, and it makes too much sense. talk about something that makes sense. You know, we coming up the end of this month. Kate Middleton and Prince William of the royal family are getting married. And one of the Harry Potter stars, Emma Watson, says she feels sorry for Kate Middleton because she's under a worldwide spotlight and with the special focus on the fashion and what she'll wear for her big day, and only 2 billion people may be watching. And she must be under an incredible amount of pressure. I hope she's enjoying it. It must be intense. Now, I sat back, I read that, and then I thought about it for a second. Basically, what's happening is Kate Middleton is married into a royal family with a real prince who is loaded, and she's going to have one of the most spectacular weddings ever in one of the most spectacular places on the place of the earth, you know, the ultimate dream wedding. And she's going to be filthy rich, living off of the backs, the hardworking people of Great Britain for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
That's pressure.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I need that kind of pressure.
Hey, I need that kind of pressure too. Wear the best of everything. Eat the best of everything. Go to the best places. Hey, give me that kind of pressure. I know how to handle it.
Yeah, they're talking about, oh, yeah, because 2 million people are going to watch it. So I'm like, well, I won't be one of them. And two, yeah, I don't see being filthy rich for the rest of my life. And one, on your special day, you know, your wedding day is your special day, you're going to have the best of everything. Yeah, that's pressure.
Yeah, it really is. I'm just trying to understand what this lady is talking about, because there's an article about she had gained like 2 pounds.
Oh,
and
my
that
God.
Was a big thing because she gained like 2 pounds over the couple years that they had been seeing each other. And it was a big shock and all of that. And it's a big to do about whether or not he was still going to be with her because she was a porker. And I'm like, wow, really? I'm looking at her like, you can see her ribs. Okay? She needs to be playing a couple more, but, you know, when you're out in the public eye like that, you know, anything matters. If the hair is out of place, you get me bad that about it. So I can kind of understand what she's talking about the pressure to be perfect.
Yeah.
And so they go perfect.
If you say so, I'm thinking an extra pound on each ankle probably is not really pressure. But that is me. I don't know. Yeah. Moving on. LaSalle University is investigating a business school seminar last month during which strippers allegedly gave lap dances to students. I guess what happened was there was a seminar held by Professor Jack Rappaport, who charged students $150 each and offered extra credit in his class.
Hey, Jacob, is he friends with the guy that let the teenagers give the lecture about
Yeah, probably. I'm sure they're colleagues. Yeah, I'm like, well, first, I went to the wrong school. We didn't have any of this in school. You know, the most excitement I had in school was my speech teacher was an old belly dancer, and she was like 58. I'm not getting it. I'm missing this. I like all the good stuff. I mean, they have a sex toy demonstrations. They get lap dances in class.
I mean, that's how it's going on. Makes me want to go back to school.
That's what I'm saying. I'm missing out. What the hell? Shoo, man.
They have our pies are flying up in there.
Right. I'm like, I'll say this about this generation. They know how to party. And professors, I mean, this professor, Jack Rappaport, I would go to his class every day. I mean, you figure after you get lap dances in class, I mean, it's like, why would you miss class? You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Next week, it's on. But that,
whoo. You're crazy. You're really crazy.
That's amazing. On that note, we're going to take our first break. We're going to go back to the old school here tonight. This is three times dope. Greatest man alive. EST, baby. Calling number. You know, we take some stuff for granted. You know how you figure it used to be back in the days you could put your money in a safe deposit box and it was all good at the bank that supposedly was safe, sound, and secure. Well,
supposedly.
Yeah. Well, just found out that that is not so. I guess the state, different states, depending on where you're at, they see citizens' property to balance the budget. Now, they're saying that in the 50 United States states, they're holding more than $32 billion worth of unclaimed property that they're supposed to safeguard. But Good Morning America did an investigation and found that some states just are seizing it. And they just don't care. They're just seizing it and they're using it to balance their budget. And some of it is even being seized when the people are alive and well. Like there was a woman in the Bay Area, San Francisco, Carla Ruff, who her safe deposit box was drilled, seized, and turned over to the state of California, marked owner unknown, even though she lived right around the corner from the bank, had a checking account at the bank, still does, and still receives regular statements. Now, you imagine that. Now, you know, because basically what would happen with the safe deposit box, the supposed scenario behind it was that if there were people who died and they couldn't be found, then the state would use said money. But it's not even that. I mean, because it, supposedly it should have been something that the next of kin, the, you know, someone contact list should have been contacted to get said property. But the state of California, the great state of California and other states, all these great states of the United States of America, they see fit to raid the kitty and use it for their own personal gain instead of giving it back to the people that it belonged to in the first damn place. I think this is what, like, shady.
That's out and out thievery.
Right.
I don't care what the hell they call it. They are a bunch of damn thieves. That's what I call it. That's just stealing from somebody.
Right.
I couldn't care less if the person was dead or not. It doesn't belong to you.
Right.
So what gives you the right to take it from it? You know what? That doesn't make any sense. To balance the budget, are they serious? Really?
Well, we know they're not balancing the budget.
It ain't even putting a damn drop in the bucket to balancing the budget.
And then it's like, I would ask this question. We pose the question, if you're balancing the budget, where is that money, that this free money going? Is it going to the coffers of state officials for their slush funds, well, discretionary funds, or however they want to call their extra payout money? Because I'm going to take a guess that's probably their quick cash money, which is the reason why the state would be so aggressive in jumping into somebody else's pockets in the first place.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's what I think. I mean, it's sort of like the same thing that I always think. You know, every time you see on the news, there's the biggest drug bust. But for some reason, we never know what happens to the drugs. We never know what happens to all that seized money.
Right.
It just, we don't know where it goes.
It's helping to fund the war on drugs, Fred. Didn't you hear that? Didn't they teach you that in school?
I just thought that the war on drugs was about breakfast when I was growing up. The whole, this is your brain on drugs, and I see them as overeating. I mean, honestly, I always got hungry during, I was like, I got to make me some eggs. that was...
I think I'm gonna let you lay down and take a nap because something is really wrong with you. No, seriously, really, just really seriously, come on. Now we know what they're doing with the drug money and the drugs, and this is just another reason why people need to start waking up and get their head out the effing clouds and stop putting so much of their faith in other people's hands and start
making
decisions for themselves.
I hate to do this, but I must grammatically correct you because your head can't be in the fucking clouds if it's up your ass.
Up your ass. My bad.
Clouds. I'm just saying. And if you're listening, we're not talking about you. We're talking about that other person.
Right.
Yeah. No. No, I mean, nobody ever talks about that. And I mean, this is another one of those cases where this mysterious money, and instead of, and I would be cool with it if you was gonna get unclaimed money and you was putting it toward the education system or something like that, going toward the parks or something like that. And it was documented that this money is going there, but that's not the case. It's actually going so some guy can take his family to the mountains of Montana in the helicopter, whatever. I don't know. Whatever they're doing with it, it ain't helping the common man. So it's no good. Now, speaking of something that is no good, changing the subject here, There's a story I was reading about where there's a children's book about penguins hatching a baby in New York.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's called Entangle Makes Three. And I guess this is about adult penguins, both who are male, who are, I guess they're both raising a baby penguin. And it's based on a story about two penguins named Roy and Silo. And it's supposedly to help parents teach children about same-sex parent families. When I read that, I was like, really? I'm not for that. I'm not feeling that. And some folks say you're against the gay agenda. I'm like, no, I don't want you talking about to my kids about penguins having sex, hetero or homo. It doesn't really matter. I don't think that kind of thing should be entered into children's education. I'm sorry. I mean, people's political agendas, and this is where you start running into the problem. People want to put their political agenda and throw that at the kids. Nah. Let the kids be kids, and then when they grow up, they can grow up and be stupid like y'all. But don't try that. For kids to teach kids about same-sex parenting, no. I'm against it.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
That's another example of why we as parents need to start at home teaching our children and not leave it up to somebody else, because our kids are getting the wrong damn information, and they grow up with a distorted perception of what family really is, or about making babies and about sex and about love and the whole nine yards. And that's why most of our young men and women grow up so jacked up in the head and confused, because they're not being taught at home. Instead, if you would just take some time away from the BlackBerry and take some time away from Young and the Restless, and
hold on. Don't be talking shit about the Young and the Restless.
I'm sorry, Dick.
Hold on.
You know what? You don't have to cut the TV off for a while, and you don't have to talk to
me. And Jack Abbott will come and get you. Don't talk shit about Young and the Restless. You can talk about all.
All right. Because Young and the Restless comes on earlier, so they'll be at school during that time. So after school, you know, don't leave them up to video games or to Yu-Gi-Oh! Or whatever they're watching after school. You know, take some time to sit down with your children and talk to them candidly. Don't be afraid to teach your kids something.
I can't text them?
No, we're not going to do the text.
Well, I can text, you know. You can text them.
We're not going to do the text. No.
I can hit them up on Facebook.
No. We're going to do the good old-fashioned sit down at the kitchen table or in the living room, and we're going to have a family meeting, and we're going to talk about what's going on in their lives and get inside their head and see what's going on. And as the adult, correct it. Turn your child in the other direction. Because if you're not going to teach your child the right direction, somebody else out there is waiting like wolves in sheep's clothing to turn them in the wrong direction to be used for their own selfish purposes.
Well,
trust and belief. I'm speaking from experience. So,
here's my point on it. I think that the whole sex education, that shit has failed in the school system. I mean, because our sex ed was them showing this little woman having a child, going through childbirth with the head, the baby with the biggest head on the face of the earth coming out of her. I mean, I remember that sex ed, and I was like, wow. All I could think was, thank God I am not a woman. I didn't get no sex education out of that. So I'm thinking that, once again, I do agree with you that it's something that, if you're going to go that route, it should be something where it's conveyed from the parent.
Yep.
The parent should be able to take the time to teach their kids the so-called birds and the bees. It shouldn't come from political agenda books or political agenda presentations that just mess kids up, because I didn't learn anything watching this woman having this big-headed baby. And I'm sure kids, they're just like, it's penguins. They don't give a damn whether they're two males or not. They're like, it's two penguins and a little baby penguin. It's one of those things. I don't know.
And, you know, just to add just one last thing, and I'm going to get off my soapbox about this. I promise I will, Dick.
All right.
We need to start, because our kids are a lot more mature, and they're learning, because of society, they're learning things a lot quicker or at an earlier age than when you and I grew up. We need to get our kids at a very, very early age and start talking to them about these things. Because times that I was in sex education and being taught how to properly use a condom, I was already pregnant because I hadn't been taught at home. And my peers were already pregnant because they weren't being taught at home. And for some reason, the subject of sex is a taboo subject when it comes to parents talking to their kids, but we have to stop being embarrassed about talking about sex. If this is crazy, it's like the elephant in the room. Everybody loves it. We wild crazy with it. We can't get enough of it. But for some reason, we're afraid to talk to our kids about it. We need to really stop playing games and help our kids out.
Well, I mean, we know, as a quick side note, that that's probably one of the hardest, even though it's not that hard once you get into it, but it's still one of those how do you bring it up subjects. But I do agree, we do have to explain that to kids. Sort of like our next subject, we have to explain to people where Robert Gates, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who visited Iraq, says an extended military presence is an option. They're saying that U.S. troops, Iraqi troops, well, U.S. troops in Iraq, could stay longer. Supposedly, all of them are supposed to be gone by December. You know, that was the bill of goods that we were sold. Unfortunately, it's looking like that's not going to happen. Now, that sucks if you're a soldier and you're like looking forward to getting the hell out of Iraq, and now all of a sudden they're telling you, nah, it's not quite over yet.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not feeling, not that the alternatives were even better. I mean, because you get to come home for a month or two from Iraq and then you get your choice of Afghanistan or Libya or some other godforsaken war zone that you've always been dying to get to. It's just,
right.
I just, you know, we talk about how politicians can promise everything in the world. And they'll say the right things to get reelected, and then
mm-hmm.
they'll pull something like this. I mean, because we all know that was one of our president's number one pledges. We are getting out of Iraq. Even though,
mm-hmm.
and he got his Nobel Peace Prize for it, even though he started a couple other wars. I'm still confused of that. I get the Nobel Peace Prize for talking about taking troops out, even though I haven't done it yet, but I promise to do it. And after I get, now do we get to take the award back from him if the troops stay in Iraq? We just like you know what, dog? We have to recall that vote. We got to give it to somebody else. Give us this trophy back. Not that it matters. I'm just saying, we take the trophy back from you. Because he straight up lied.
Because you told a bold faced lie.
Pretty much.
He told a lie.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm sure they knew that there was no way in hell they was leaving Iraq. Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, unfortunately, it sucks to be a soldier right about now.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to laugh, but I find it illogical that you know, one, everybody, you know, we have one side of the country who attack him just because he's a black man. You remember the whole hysteria, well, he's a black man, you know, Klan up in arms, guns was bought. Then on the other side, you know, of course, like, oh, yeah, we got a black president. You know, that's it. And I remember everybody was high in the sky. Yeah, got black president. Yeah, it's like, is that really gonna change something?
If I said, what's next? So, you know, after this, what's next?
Well, I mean,
so, you know, well, liars come in all different shapes, sizes, and colors. So,
well, I look at it. I mean, the president. You know, people say, oh, he's the leader of the free world, but
no, he's not.
The world is not free. Nothing in this world free. I mean, the only thing that we get free right now is air. And in a minute, I'm sure we're going
to
have an air
tax. And they're trying to find a way to control it?
Yeah, we're going to get an air tax here in a minute. I can see it coming. And on that note, we're going to go on another break. This is Ice Cube, the product.
All right.
Yeah, you know, taking it back to the old school.
I love Ice Cube.
Are you ready?
Kill at Will, one of my favorite songs of all time, actually. I've always loved Ice Cube, and, you know, he holds, like, three of my top five songs all time in my head. You know, songs I used to listen to get me fired up, play ball. So that would be one of them. Because I know all the words to the song. So I know all the words to all the songs that are my favorite song. I got like 185 of them. Oh, man. Now, you know, you were talking about putting down the BlackBerry and actually talking to your kids, whatnot. And it made me think about what we talk about, how we are in society. And, you know, supposedly society, you know, is what we supposedly make of it. But we don't necessarily have the freedom to do as we want. You know, there's a case where there was a woman who was fined, 70-year-old Tierra Santa woman, which is a suburb in San Diego, who was fined for allegedly, this is funny, using her garage space as living space. Because a woman, Marilyn Weber, she spends about 4 or 5 hours a day in her garage, knitting and watching TV. And, you know, neighborhood children and friends, they often pass by for treats and coffee. Well, the Homeowners Association at where she lives at Via Portofino fined her $50 because she was using the area as living space. And so for every day that she goes without paying the fine, they add an additional $2. And the neighbors, they're fine with it. They appreciate that she opened her garage as a neighborhood gathering place. And it makes me think, why can't I sit in my garage and knit and watch TV? I'm paying for it. It is my property. Why can't you do stuff in your own garage? I'm confused by that. There's something wrong with that picture where I get fined for essentially living in my shit.
Yeah. I can understand where you're coming from, but I can also explain why they're fining her. Because she's a part of that community. Oh. And when she joined that community, there are certain bylaws. And she agreed to them, and she probably voted for them. And those are one of the things that she probably overlooked. There was a similar case here in Ohio where an elderly couple had purchased a home in a gated community, and they didn't pay their homeowners association due, and they owed approximately $60, and they didn't pay the $60, and it ended up going to court, and somehow they were able to take these people home from them for $60. The home was worth about close to $2 million, and the actual homeowners association was able to take them to court and take their home from them.
Now I understand that, but see, the issue here is the fact that they fined her because she was living in her garage too much, they said. Now, my thing is, if my garage is not unsightly, I should be able to put a easy chair out there in my garage. And if people want to stop by and see me, and if I want to watch TV in my garage, it should be my right as a homeowner to do what I wish in my garage, so long as I'm not in there. I don't have like a meth lab.
Right. You're absolutely right.
You know, I don't understand that. Now, another case.
You're right.
In Oakland, there was a 4,500 square plot of land in which Novella Carpenter paid for it, and it was all messed up, you know, in abandoned, graffiti-laden area, empty plot of land. So what she did, she paid $30,000 for it, and she now raises food for herself and her neighbors on it. And every now and again, she may sell a little bit of it. Not really a business, just, you know, if people are hungry, can't afford it, she let them have some food. For those who have a little money, she sells some of the food. No problem, right? Except for the city of Oakland, say, you know what, that's against what we're trying to do here. They're saying that her garden is a business. And so she's required to obtain a valid business permit. And
she has to get a vendor's license and all that in order to sell. And you know what's bad about it is,
and I understand that the city has the whole business license and you have to pay the sale or whatever, which I understand and I don't understand at the same time. But you know, she's not making a huge profit. She's just doing it as something where there was nothing. She built up something, and it benefits the community, her community in particular. And her saving grace, instead of being commended for it, she is attacked by the city of Oakland.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, she's somebody who should be looked up to. Now, obviously, what she should have done is just applied to be a non-profit organization and just sold it like that. But I still think there's something wrong with that picture where somebody who is helping people is attacked by the city. But, you know, is the city attacking crack houses? I know.
No, because it's easier to attack people like her.
Right. I know, it, you know, people don't talk about it. I mean, but we all know the drug areas, and the police drive by them all the time. And for some reason, the drug dealers can be in some place for a while, but the people who are doing good, like Miss Carpenter here, she gets harassed. I just have a problem with that. I have an issue with that. I don't see how they can be reconciled. There comes a point, and I know we're in a capitalist society, but there comes a point where it can't all be about money. I mean,
unfortunately, Dick, it is. It is. And that's a very, very sick, and it's a very sad thing, but they're not getting it. And they think that they may be. There may be possibly, if there's a possible future for her as a business owner in any way, shape, or form, they want to nip whatever problem there is in the bud right now so that, you know, they let her know, hey, we're here, we want our cut, so we're going to teach you the way things are, the way we do things around here. So, and that's the way that I see, because the same thing, it's a lot of things that you're talking about that go on everywhere. I've lived in a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of what you're talking about. And like you said, it shouldn't all be about money, but it really is.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that greed only cares about greed.
Right. Yeah.
That's the problem.
And we know that's where we're at, which made it funny because the Chinese issued a statement to the United States, hey, stop preaching on human rights. You know, because the State Department shot out their annual report on human rights, and they criticized China. So the Chinese said, hey, you know what? Y'all need, on the basis of equality and mutual respect, y'all should stop meddling in other countries' affairs. They said, we advise the U.S. side to reflect on its own human rights issues and not to position itself as a preacher of human rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, it's kind of funny because basically the Chinese saying, look, y'all shit ain't great. Get the hell out of our business. We ain't in y'all talking about how, you know, because he's saying, hey, you know, your human rights record and the racism and all that is not that good. You know, talking about the illicit black jails to punish activists. You know, they're talking about the exact same thing that we talk about on the show. And they're like, hey, who are y'all to talk shit to us about our human rights violations?
That's because America is a do as I say, not as I do type of country. That's how they are. They don't lead by example. They like to impose their will on other countries, particularly with countries that they think may be a bit weaker. They never fuck with anybody that is, you know, that they perceive to be stronger, you know. And case in point, you know, Afghanistan, they didn't think that Afghanistan was as strong as they are. So what did they do? They fucked with them. They picked a war with the wrong people.
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't have enough time to get into that. I mean, because I've said it over and over again that the Afghanistan war is the Scarface war. That war is all about drug deals. It's about the heroin, the opium coming out. It really has nothing to do with freeing the people of Afghanistan. They don't give a damn about the people of Afghanistan. We've been there 10 years. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, people forget that at the exact same time we were in Iraq, we were in Afghanistan.
Right.
What is the status of the war in Afghanistan? I mean, I joked earlier that, yeah, President Barack Obama sent troops to Afghanistan. There were already troops there. They were already shooting and banging. You know, never stopped. I don't see anything changing about that. And, you know, one of our bloggers said weapons of mass destruction, but Afghanistan is just weapons of drug destruction.
That's what it is.
It's about getting you high. So anyway, on that note, I want to thank the listeners for listening. I want to thank you once again, Ms. 100%, for coming on and being the great and gracious co-host that you are. I never understand where we're going, but we're gonna have some fun on the journey because this whole fighting wars that are wars but aren't wars. I don't know. And I say on that note, I want to thank everybody for listening and stay tuned because come into a internet channel near you. Smooth Drama. See you next time, next smooth place. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.